My message today is a tree for the season. And I'd like to start off with a prayer from the Book of Common Prayer, from the Episcopalian version. And so if you'll join me in prayer, I'd like to read that from this book. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be the honor, the glory, now and forever. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 is the second book in the Bible, and we'll start at verse 22. If someone broke in your house and stole all your Christmas gifts, not to mention all the decorations, even the Christmas ham like the old Grinch did, it goes to say that probably most of us would have a pretty miserable Christmas. Very few of us probably would get up and see the empty house and immediately walk outside and give praises and start singing praises to God. Let me correct that. None of us would do that. We'd probably be in shock of how can this happen. We call the police and then we start investigating maybe if there are any clues were left of how they got in and try to determine something, if anything was missing, but we wouldn't immediately praise God. However, I do believe that there are those of us who are truly seeking to follow Jesus that might eventually get around to it. We might thank God that no one was hurt and might even pray for the ones that stole our Christmas. Maybe they needed it more than we did. But then when you stop and think about others who have no basis in grace or mercy and love and peace and joy, who do not have that joy of their relationship in Christ, there would be very few filled with Christmas joy, if anything, if they discovered something was stolen from their homes during this type of year. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 22, starting with verse 22 to the end of the chapter, we read that then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went out 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you'll give me earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and to keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." And then when they came to Elim, there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. It's amazing that the people of Israel, in verse 24 of our passage today, said that they grumbled against Moses. Because when you go through the wilderness, what's in you will come out. I know Kish and I, we always tell new couples that are thinking about becoming married, we always say, take the 9-mile trip down the Illinois River. If you survive that and still want to get married, then you pass the test. Because that will stretch you in every which way that you can, with being tumped over in a canoe or seeing which one's rowing the right way. And it will just do that. But when you go through the wilderness, what's in you will come out. And after the complaining and murmuring were inside of them and the atmosphere started to become conducive for whatever was in them to come out. And if you notice, complaining came out of them. But instead, crying out to the Lord came from Moses, and he cried out to the Lord. They talked to Moses, and Moses talked to God, because Moses says, "I don't have any water, but God does." And they called that place Marah. They had bitter water. Now think for a moment. They went out there for 3 days. 3 days in the hot desert, nothing to drink. And then all of a sudden they come upon some water, and they're astonished in the first place that God led them there. Moses had prayed to God and asked for water, and behold, the third day they found water. And they were running and they're happy and everybody's rejoicing, full of joy. And then they dip into the water and they taste what they thought was the light at the end of the tunnel, what they thought was the end of their trial. And, you know, that they thought that this was finally over with, but instead they taste the water and it tastes bitter. They can't even drink it. You know, nothing affects your life more than when you think it's over and then it gets worse. Nothing affects your life and makes you bitter than when you think that you're there at the end of your trial and you're thinking that it's all going to be right now and finally, you see some light coming through and the sun is coming down through the clouds, only to find out that when you dip your hand down in the water, it's bitter. And it's worse, not better. I'm saying to you today that these Israelites were at the end of the rope. And they thought that their breakthrough had finally come when they finally found this water after 3 days in the desert. And they found the water and it was almost like it ended up being a cruel joke. It's like the person who's believing for healing and they keep believing and they keep praying for healing and they have others with them praying for healing. And then you go to the doctor and you get the opposite of what you're believing for. If you remember Naomi, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20, she said, don't call me beautiful anymore. Her name means beautiful, Naomi. She said, I want you to call me Mara because the Almighty has made me very bitter. And I've been through so much that I'm just a bitter woman. Because bitterness is when you're not looking forward to nothing and you've lost your joy. Bitterness is when something has dried up, all hope of ever getting out of just seems to be gone. And when bitterness has crept into your spirit, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to be around those church people. You don't want to be around joyful people. They start to get on your nerves. Everything becomes wrong with everything. You become angry. You become on edge. And that's what happened to these Israelites. They begin to cry. The people begin to cry. And God looked down from the wilderness and he didn't see the hot sun that they were enduring. Didn't quite respond to the wilderness that they were going through and all the creepy crawlies that comes with that. Or the thirst that they were just becoming parched with. Or the bitter words that he heard from coming out of their mouth spewing over into Moses. But he did hear the cry of his people. I hear the cry of my people. Something is crying. My people are crying out to me. And if there's anything that will soften the heart of God, is when you get broken enough to cry unto God. Job, he said, I cried and the Lord delivered me. Jonah, he said, I cried to the Lord in my distress, and while he was in the belly of the fish, and the Lord delivered him. May not have been the way he wanted to be delivered, to be vomited out of a fish, but he was delivered. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cried out to God while they were in the fiery furnace, and the devil's in there saying, I want you guys to die. And the devil says that you just can't make it, and when the devil says that you're just going to die in the wilderness, there's one thing that you can always do, and that is to cry out unto the Lord. I don't know about you, but life sometimes is going to give you some bitter water. And it's going to try to get you to lose your joy. Jesus said himself in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have tribulations. But then he says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And when that thing that you kind of dream for falls through, well, that's bitter water. And that can steal your joy. When the prayer for a breakthrough is prayed over and over and through other people and it doesn't come and it's seemingly too late and you're losing everything, including your joy, that's bitter water. When you're preaching a funeral instead of celebrating a miracle, that can become bitter water. Because it's shocking how we can go from full of joy to bitterness. And the Bible says in verse 25, that when they were in the middle of it, when they cried out to God, God showed them a tree. King James Version says a tree. Your Bible may say a piece of wood. But when I read that, I couldn't think of help but thinking, but how did they miss that tree? If I'd been out in the desert for 3 days, sun's beating down on me, I guarantee you the first thing I would be looking for is a tree to find some shade under. But they didn't see it because they were so blinded by their bitterness. And then when they tasted the water, they never even saw the tree by the water that was there, because sometimes it's just hard to see the tree for the forest. It's hard to see what God is doing when you enter that bitterness and you lose your joy. You kind of lose sight of the real thing. All you can see is your puddle of disappointment. All you can do is look at your pool of shattered dreams and look at that bitter thing that betrayed you. And God says, I put a tree there. There's a tree that God planted by the bitter pool. And they didn't even see it. They did not even notice it. And God opened their eyes and opened the eyes of their leader and showed Moses. And the only tree in the desert was there, and he saw it. And when he saw it, God said to Moses, he said, take that tree, put it into the water, and the bitter water will become sweet. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a tree that grows up overnight. I mean, you're planning for the future whenever you plant a tree. This is not something that grows real fast. Somewhere in the past, God allowed a little seed to fall into the floor of the desert, maybe through a crack of the parched ground, and he preserved it. And he allowed it just enough moisture there to keep that seed alive, month after month and year after year. He may have even assigned an angel to ward off any goats or sheep or any varmints that just happened to wander along that was eating out there and wandering through the desert. Can you just see an angel there just kind of scurrying off any goats or whatever comes through there with the intention of guarding that little seed that fell there? Because God was planting a tree for the season. He's planted it and he's growing a tree, and he knows that there will be a bunch of bitter people someday pass by there that are going to go through something. And that's the only tree out there that can turn their bitterness into sweetness. And so God allowed the tree to grow. Grew day after day, week after week. It wasn't an accident. Month after month, year after year. And then one day, God knows exactly what time in the future that a crisis was going to take place right there. And that he'd already have the answer to their problem already when they got there. And before they drank one sip of water, the tree that was already planted before they needed it, it was already there. And today, before you head home, a tree has already been planted. Before you get the doctor's diagnosis, the tree of healing has already been planted. Before that child got mixed up with the wrong people, a tree for the right season of deliverance has already been planted. Before the enemy ever attacks, there is a tree for the season that was already planted. And the date of your deliverance has been already decreed. And the judgment against your adversary has already been written. God has planted the right people into the right place in the right time, so that you can do what he called you to do. God's already speaking to people that you don't even know about. He's already speaking to people and places and things and getting them prepared. And so while we often worry about things and we even get mad at God while he's working it on our behalf, and this tree was already planted, and all he is saying is, it's just a test. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me when, even if you don't understand what's going on. Trust me even when you get disappointed. Trust me even if you thought it was going to turn out a different way. Trust me, because a tree for the season has already been planted. If you've tasted bitter water, God's saying, just look around. I've been working on this thing a long, long time. And God's doing things that you and I don't even know about. And oftentimes we get bitter instead of trusting God when he leads us in a particular way that we weren't even expecting. He's working on it even before you moved to town. Years ago, God knew where you would be, where you are now, and He already has a tree for the season planted on your behalf. The tool of deliverance is already there to restore your joy. To some who don't even trust God enough to believe Him, even if they hear it preached from a pulpit, God's putting it together. He's putting those puzzle pieces in place and planting a tree for the season in your life before you ever even tasted the bitter water. He said, if you follow me, listen to His promise in verse 26, and obey me, and I will put none of the diseases that were on the Egyptians on you. You know, I don't remember a lot of diseases that were on the Egyptians. I know they had like 10 plagues. Maybe one of them was boils. But I don't think that they necessarily had any diseases. All of them were outwardly afflicted. Blood, lice, pestilence, the animals dying, and so forth. The thing I do remember about the Egyptians is that they became real bitter. Every time that Moses would come and God would tell him to do something, it's almost like they hardened their hearts. They wanted to get bitter and they wanted to get revenge against Moses and the Israelites. What are the diseases? When God says, I'll put none of the disease of the Egyptians, I don't think He was necessarily referring to diseases of the flesh. The greatest disease that the Egyptians had were the diseases of the spirit. It was the diseases that get into people when they go through bitter water. The Egyptians were bitter against Moses. They were bitter against the Israelites. And especially when Moses came up to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Remember how Pharaoh had his anger and his revenge and his bitterness. Because bitter water experiences can contaminate our spirit and can cause this anger at the people and its situations just to boil over in us a lot of times, stealing that joy that's within us and leaving us with bitterness and anger and revenge. America needs this kind of healing in our nation right now. It's absolutely astonishing to see the things that are going on. But for God's people, I don't care what anybody has done anything to or what they have done to you, you are never allowed to let the diseases of the Egyptians to contaminate your spirit. And He said to them that if you'll trust me and discover that I am your source and I am the God of justice, I'll fight the battle for you. But if you want to sit on the throne and judge everybody and get revenge and become bitter and angry, then the diseases of the Egyptians will get into your spirit and contaminate you and destroy your destiny. The Egyptian disease, like the indecision, you remember how indecisive they were when they said, let him go. And when they were in Egypt and Moses would bring forth a pledge and then all of a sudden the Egyptians decided, no, bring him back. It was back and forth and back and forth. They let the people go. They brought him back numerous times. That's indecision. And that comes from bitterness. Maybe God led me here. Well, maybe He didn't. Well, maybe He did. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the disease of the Egyptians, which is angerness and bitterness and revenge, and another one is indecision, all of those which can steal your joy. Maybe He led me. Maybe He didn't. Maybe God called me. Maybe He didn't. Maybe God's going to save my family. Maybe He won't. When you're going through that maybe He will, maybe He won't phase, it's a sign that you're camping out at bitter waters. And the only reason you are where you are now is that God brought you there. How did God lead the children of Israel to get to where they were? It was by a cloud, remember? They were under that cloud. And God led them not just to blessings, but He also led them to a bitter place. He led them there to test them. To see if you're going to let the disease of the Egyptians, bitterness and anger and revenge and indecision contaminate your soul. But God had a tree for the season planted there already before the bitter waters ever came into the Israelites' life when they got there. And I'm here today to announce that God did call you, God did send you to that place. God did place you there. And God does have plans for you. I don't care what it looks like right now. But the Egyptian disease of indecision will not take away our joy. Don't care how bitter it looks right now. When you arrive there in that place, God knew you would be there. It's not just some happenstance. And here's what's kind of interesting in the story. God never intended for us to go through bitter waters in a bitter place and to camp there and to live there. He says, I will test you with situations. When this looks like it, this is it, and when it doesn't happen, and you think all is lost because Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when it does happen, and if you don't get bitter, if you don't get angry, if you don't let it get in you, then notice the next part. He said, I'll put none of the diseases on the Egyptians, verse 26, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And there is where they camped, by those waters. Moses, I never told you to camp at Marah. I just wanted you just to pass through there, because it was just a test. Now on the horizon, what I've really been wanting to take you to is a place that has 12 wells and 70 palm trees. In other words, you're going to have 12 times more blessing and 70 more times of shade than you've ever had in your life. And after you go through that bitter place and you refuse to take on the disease of the Egyptians, don't stop there. Don't stop in that bitter place and lose your joy and get discouraged there in that bitter place. Don't lose your joy, because just on the other side of the bitter water, if you pass the test, joy is waiting for you through the 12 wells and 70 palm trees. Joy is like that hidden note in a glass. You ever take a crystal glass and run your finger around it and hear that note? Joy is tuning in the same way to what God's doing to you and around you. Seeing the world through His eyes and picking up on the delight that we're His children and finding joy in that. Because with happiness, anyone can find happiness in life. Because happiness depends on what's happening to you. If good things are happening to you, then we're happy. But joy is different. Joy goes a lot deeper. Joy is when your whole being inside wants to sing out, because what you've done is you've caught a glimpse of God at work. And joy can creep up on you just like bitterness can. And joy can surprise you in unexpected places that you didn't even realize. Because joy is the byproduct of obedience. And God says, I don't want you to camp out at this bitter place, because I'm taking you to a better place. Pass through the bitter water, but say, I'm not staying there, because I've got my sight set on 70 palm trees and 12 wells of living water. And I'm saying to every family, I'm saying to every marriage, I'm saying to every person who's ever come in contact with bitter waters, that this is the word for you, that this is the word for the church, that if we will not allow bitterness and anger and revenge and indecision and doubting God, but instead if we will trust Him and say, or refuse to take all of that stuff, and wherever you lead, I will follow. And I know you haven't called me to live here. I'm not going to camp there, but instead I'm just going to kind of pass through. Well, the Bible says that when they drank of the water, verse 25, and they put that tree in the water, it gave them just enough strength to get them where God was taking them, to verse 27, to Elim. Trees represented of that cross they threw in that water. They exchanged one pool, one bitter pool, for 12 wells and 70 palm trees. 12 wells of precious, delicious water to 70 palm trees of shade and comfort. One pool of bitterness equals 12 wells of righteousness and blessing and favor. One broken old down tree represents 70 trees of blessing. And just like the song says that you've heard before, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. And how many of you today would just love for God to heal that bitterness? If you're tired and angry and bitter and revengeful, if you want God to sit on the throne and not you, then you can lift up your heart and receive the joy and find your tree for the season. I was talking with a lady yesterday and she said, this isn't a blue Christmas for me, it's a black Christmas. I want to get this thing over with. And sometimes we can get like that. It may be a Christmas tree. Your tree for the season may be a Christmas tree to remind you of wonderful things and wonderful Christmases and wonderful memories you've had in the past that you found great joy in. That may be your tree for the season. Or it may be something's going to come along unexpected that you can't even see before you right now because God has the right people, the right place, and the right situations working for you. But it all begins with obedience and keeping your sight on Him who leads us by the quiet waters. Please join me in prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive you as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. You heal our bitterness, O Father. You heal our anger. You heal our revenge. You heal our indecision and restore our joy into you and others around us. I receive the mind of Christ. I receive the heart of Christ. I receive the Spirit of Christ. And I release forgiveness to others so that I may be released from bitterness, to be released from that unforgiveness. Lord, I thank you for getting us back on track and to let us understand that we're just passing through the water and we're not camping there. Not another day are we going to live by those bitter waters. Instead, when the cross promises healing. And now we receive 12 times more blessing. We receive 70 times more shade and comfort because we refuse to be bitter. Through the power of the cross, which restores our joy. Come into our hearts so that we may receive times of refreshing in our spirit. So that our joy may show and be able to shine the light that is within us through you. Give us a sweet spirit, Father. Just as you made the bitter waters at Marah taste sweet to the Israelites to get them through. Show us our tree for the season, Father, that we may follow you in obedience and follow you in love. And we pray this in our Savior's name, Jesus. And all the church said, Amen.